Welcome to the ITM Podcast with Steve Perrault and Joey Cabrini.
This is episode 189 of the ITM Podcast, presented by SeatGeek. We are the unofficial podcast of your Boston Red Sox. My name is Steve Perrault, his name is Joey Capone, and the Red Sox have lost the only starter that they signed this offseason. He's likely done for the year, and hey, he might even miss some of 2025. How you doing, Joey?
Are we sure about any of that? Are we sure about any of this?
Are we sure that this whole world isn't going to blow up? I'm sure some Sox fans would be like, can we just blow the world up now? Can we explode? Of all times for us all to just immediately be wiped off the face of the earth, this isn't the worst one, Joe, right? Is that correct?
I'm not even sure we're in reality, to be entirely honest with you. I've thought about it a lot.
Break it down.
There's no way 2020 was 4 years ago. There's just no way. There's no way 2016 was 8 years ago. There's just no chance.
Dude, I'm having a lot of those moments, and I know you'll see them on the old TikTok machine a lot, where it's like, when you realize that 2016 was 8 years ago, and I'm like, bro, I'm with you. 2016 was 8 years ago? Mm-hmm. The hell are we talking about? We just had Summer 16, one of your favorite songs by Drake.
I love that.
Playing Dirty Not Clean. That was one you would always talk about.
We're in Toronto. Yeah, I love that.
Dude, that was
song.
8 years ago. That's wild. That's wild. So I agree with you. But again, like seeing this, the Giolito news, how this offseason's gone, let's blow this earth up, brother. Let's blow it up.
Okay, different plan. I was going somewhere a little different. I was with you. Okay. You took a left. I was going to say, we got to wake up. Somebody
from this reality. Okay.
Yes, yeah, some master brain. I don't know whose it is. Let's just say, I don't know, for the sake of it, it's mine. Let's just say I'm like the master brain among the human race. I got to wake up. Someone's got to wake me up because it's getting out of hand. This is a joke at this point. This was crazy. You know what's a little ominous is the last thing I saw before the Passan tweet, which was like the real dagger in this whole situation, was your tweet that said, like, oh, these are the kind of rumblings that you hear right before you see a Passan bomb that says, oh, he's actually done for the whole season. It was immediate. It was 10 seconds between them. So shout out to you for seeing the future or whatever.
Well, it was the phrasing. And saw the tweet from our guy downtown, Ian Brown, which said the following: Lucas Giolito felt some discomfort in his elbow following his last start. Doubtful he will be ready for the start of the season. Red Sox and Giolito in process of setting up more tests. And this is the line, Joe.
Yeah.
In quotes. We're obviously concerned, not a good day for us, said Alex Cora. Now, the only times Alex Cora says those lines are if a guy is about to be done for the season because of an elbow injury or something that happened on the field, or if Alex Verdugo showed up a little late to Fenway Park.
You beat me to it. I was really hoping that I was going to be able to.
Those are the only times. The only times you're going to say bad day for us is if those things happen. But no, I saw those quotes, and you can just kind of sense it. It's the calm before the storm. I think that phrase is probably overused a little bit, but it really applies when there's a pitcher that's got some Tommy John surgery lingering. It's like, he felt some discomfort. He said that's something he's not used to feeling. And the manager is giving us quotes of, hey, we'll see, but it doesn't look great. When does that not become done for the year? You're always just kind of looking at Twitter with one eye open, like, passing, just don't, please don't do it. Don't do it. Please don't do it.
Yeah.
And then bang, it's always worded the same too. Breaking, your favorite player is dead.
Yeah.
That's just kind of how it always goes. Not like Giolito's our favorite player, but you know what I mean.
Yeah. The wording of it was tough too. It's like, I don't want empathy, which is what he was exhibiting in that tweet. He's like, man, the Red Sox, who just gave him a deal. This is heartbreaking.
It leads with brutal news.
What is that, man? I don't need
There's
that.
Part of that just kind of plays off of what the tweets from the reporters were before, too, where it's like, we'll see.
Yeah.
And to your point, Joey, you could kind of sense Passan's coming. And then passing arrives with brutal news. And we didn't even need to read the rest. I think those two words actually would have just, oh, okay, he's done for the year. Like, brutal news doesn't have a player's name in it. He's a MLB reporter. This could be about literally anyone. I think we all knew when we saw those two words that Giolito was done. Initial imaging showed Boston Red Sox starter Lucas Giolito likely has a partially torn UCL and flexor strain and could miss the 2024 season. Giolito, who signed a two-year deal with Boston, may need surgery to repair the right elbow damage. So it's kind of exactly what you expected.
It's likely he may, he could. That's what I just heard.
Yeah, so, he's getting a second opinion, so I don't, yeah.
There we go. And you know who gets second opinions?
People that need Tommy John.
People who, not what I was going to say, not what I was going to say.
Got?
I was going to say guys who are confident that doctors are wrong. Because Lucas, who knows Lucas Giolito's UCL better than Lucas Giolito?
Exactly.
And for me, it's like if I went to a doctor and he was like, oh, yo, your UCL's partially torn, I'd be like, it doesn't feel partially torn. I would go to a second doctor, get a second opinion. I think he misses like three starts. I think he's fine. I'm obviously joking here, but my God's honest gut just like hasn't absorbed this information yet. I really do believe that he's not done for the year. Until I see it solidly, I can't accept it. The one thing, more than anything, that did carry like the most weight for me was actually the interview they pumped into the middle of the spring training game with, I think it was Jamai, where Lucas himself referred to it as a serious injury.
Yeah.
And those words took the wind out of my sails quite a bit. Especially a guy who prides himself on pitching through stuff. And
that's true. I mean, it's just keeps on happening, Joe. There was a funny picture, at least that one that I deemed funny. The Red Sox posted an image of Rafael Devers a couple hours after the Giolito news. And it was very clearly like a follow Rafi at spring training kind of thing. And I do feel bad for the Sox social team. There's zero wins to be had with anything. Like, they could honestly be like, Jaron Duran has agreed to give everyone like $1,000 that follows him on Twitch. And it's like, it doesn't matter. Nothing's going to get people excited that they put out there outside of like, we've agreed to a deal with Jordan Montgomery and Blake Snell at the same time. So at this point, it sucks because they put this image out there of Rafael Devers like putting on eye black, and it just immediately reminded me of that meme of the Joker putting on his makeup, like crying through it. And it's just like, yeah, man, this is what it feels like. This is what it feels, I'm sure, like for Devers, where it's like, sick, here we go. My extension's starting up. I have no idea when this team's going to be good again, but they're going to rely on me to have 40 homers and 120 RBIs this year for a last-place team. I am excited to do that. Can't wait. And it's, you know, consistently, you wake up and you just I open Twitter scared every day. And it's been like that the entire offseason where it's like, all right, what is it today? Like, what's the quote that's moronic? What's the signing another team did that the Red Sox should have done? And what's the latest on how Jordan Montgomery is not going to sign here? Like, just let us know. And sure enough, this was worse than I expected. Lucas Giolito, I looked it up, Joe.
Yeah.
There's only four starters that have made more starts than Lucas Giolito over the last seven seasons. That's Aaron Nola, Gerrit Cole, Jose Barrios, and Patrick Corbin. He is 57-58 over those 7 years with a 4.48 ERA. So it's not like Giolito has been dominating. Obviously, he's had good stretches, bad stretches. But Lucas Giolito is one of the most durable pitchers of like the last decade in Major League Baseball. And he's the only starter you got, and he's not going to throw a pitch for you this year. It's just ridiculous.
The whole thing with switching him out in Sale was availability, was the fact that he posts. The fact that his drive every season, he's said it like 12 times this offseason, just this spring, he has squeaked this into every single interview that he's done, that his goal every season, and he hasn't achieved it yet, is to pitch 200 innings. And that was one thing that you could say about all this is like, well, at least he's going to be there. If anybody has a shot to be there, it's him. And him not being there does it does a billion things, but it not only, you know, throws a wrench in the rotation, obviously, it also screws with your bullpen, because now it's more than likely Hauk and Whitlock, it pains me to say these words, are both in the starting rotation.
I know.
It also means that Nick Pivetta is your number two starter in your rotation. And it thins out another area of strength. You know, it takes away from an area you're already weak, and it thins out your bullpen. One thing I will say, though, is aside from the obvious roster construction shortcomings, this isn't something that you can blame the team for, really, at all. And I shout out to Cotillo for jumping on that flame a little bit early on, because a UCL tear is not something that you can foresee in any kind of medical. There's no signs of, oh, he might tear his UCL. You can tear your UCL in one single pitch. This is not something that happens over time with strain, you know, you can see coming in any way. It is something, though, Steve, that if, let's say you were to join a new organization with some new pitching coaches, and you are in need of like a bounce back year, and you find yourself around some pitching gurus who think they have the answer to your problems and tweak with your stuff and mess with your mechanics, can
something
very easily
your arm's not used to, you'd say, like a motion.
Yeah. Change your mechanics, change your motion a little bit. It can be something that puts your arm under a brand new stress, which is something that if a team was doing that, might want to consider, and now recognize, probably too late, but now recognize that that's something that they are going to run into. If that's the approach you want to take, you want to just take on projects, you want to just take on guys who rehab and you want to fix them up, well, the body needs a little bit of time to adjust, and you can't just be tweaking with guys' stuff. I'm trying really hard not to like get really fired up about that, because I understand it's like it's misplaced, and it feels like I'm just trying to point my anger at somebody. But man, dude, that was my very first thought, is like, man, he's sure talked a lot about changing his mechanics since he came here, huh? He's talked a lot about how Andrew Bailey has the answer to all of his problems, huh? And now he's hurt in spring, immediately tore his UCL. That's funny.
No, I hear you. But it's a good point, Joey. It's something I hadn't even thought of. Something I hadn't even factored in. I mean, yeah, there's a layer to this where I think a lot of Red Sox fans just consistently, we want to have something to constantly point at, is like, oh, you idiot, you should have seen this coming. Oh, you moron, you should have seen that. It's like you said, no one's going to see this coming. This is not something you would expect. Now, who knows? Maybe this is because of changing mechanics. It could also not be because of that. We don't know the answer. Right. But, and this is stupid, this is a dumb thing I'm about to say.
Say it.
There was a big part of me that felt like this was the baseball gods going, like, hey, Red Sox, you assholes. You've handled this offseason in the most moronic fashion possible. This is what you deserve. The one starter you got, when obviously that wasn't the answer, getting one fixer-upper starter, he's not even going to pitch for you now. So there you go. I don't love saying stuff like that, because someone, I feel bad for Lucas Giolito. I genuinely feel really bad for him. Like, that's, but I'm more saying big picture wise, it's like you kind of deserve this. If you thought this guy was going to be the answer to your problems, and you could patch it together with Tanner Houck and Winkowski and Whitlock and all these guys, Criswell, like, what are we? All the guys that keep throwing out, you know,
that's a joke.
He can start, and we think he might be a starter. We've said it before on here and on Sox Twitter. Anytime you're saying, oh, this guy could start, that guy could start, when you have 10 starters, you have no starters. That's just kind of how it goes. And so, but, you know, Breslow even saying it in the Nesson interview, of, oh, we think this guy could turn into a, it's just like, stop feeding us this. We're not going to buy it. Please.
As Whitlock is getting taken deep. That was awesome.
That was funny, but it's like, just save it. Like, it's, you don't even have to, at this point, it's already, everything's terrible. But part of this did kind of feel like the baseball gods going like, no, you're, Trust me, this isn't rock bottom. We're going to make it even worse.
Yeah.
That factors in. It's going to be a big year, though, Joey, for Tori Belinsky Dinkins.
Oh.
TBD. If I'm TBD, I'm trying to sign an extension now because of how much I know I'm going to be used this upcoming season. He was already used a ton last year.
Oh, yeah.
Now, the amount of stress they're going to put on his arm, the amount of innings they're going to add on to the workload this year, if I'm TBD, get that extension right now, brother, because you're going to be worn down by the end of 2024.
I mean, right now, I mean, obviously we know the contract that he took before. That's back end of the rotation, you know, setup guy kind of money.
Yep.
If they're going to use you middle of the top of the rotation kind of innings, get paid like it, brother. I think he deserves every dollar that's coming his way. You know what's funny is one, that bit we just did. Two is that was really funny, you guys. Leave a like in the comments. tell us how funny that was. Send us a DM. Let us know that was a good bit. No, but what the other thing that's funny is I hate to go back to this interview because I feel like I do it every other week on here. But Alex Cora's interview with Bradfoe at the beginning of the offseason. When Bradfoe said, like, you guys going to go out and get a starting pitcher or two? And Cora said, why not three?
Mm.
If you go by that, right? If you go by the quote from Alex Cora that they wanted three more starters than what they had, they now have negative one more starters than they had last year. They are a different, they are four men off from where they wanted to be. Which, I don't know if you know this, Steve, is 80% of a rotation. They are almost a full rotation off from where they wanted to be.
Hey, if they could just sign four dudes, man. Like, that's all you got to do. Just sign four aces right now, and then you're good.
I mean, what if they do tomorrow, just sign, like, Monty, Snell, Lorenzen?
Can we mention this, Joe?
Yeah.
So, saw Pete Abe put it out there. A lot of other people in the mentions say a similar thing of... like, oh, no, they're definitely not signing Jordan Montgomery now. That would make absolutely no sense. Use some logic here. If the Red Sox, which it sounds like they have been, and I'll give them an ounce of credit for this because they're not as moronic as I thought they were with this specific thing, even though they should have already signed Jordan Montgomery. They've been staying in touch with Jordan Montgomery. They've been seeing, you know, checking in for where that price is, where it's getting to, so that it gets to their little hypothetical, mythical, you know, price point that they're comfortable with. They've been checking in with them. If they're interested enough to sign Jordan Montgomery at a certain price, if they already were before the Giolito news, the Lucas Giolito news would not defer them from signing that contract that would likely impact your team in a positive way for the next, like, 4 years. Obviously, we don't know the years. This could be a contract wherever Montgomery signs that has an opt-out after, like, year two. But let's say, hypothetically, it's at least three guaranteed years with whatever team he signs with. Maybe it's the Red Sox. If that's the case, and your rotation is the obvious area of need, then Lucas Giolito, who was already a fixer-upper guy, is not going to... oh, God, we don't have Giolito for 1 year, so, like, we can't sign Montgomery for four now. Like, what are you talking... that doesn't make any sense at all. Like, I mean, all right, we got to call it off. We're not going to improve our rotation now because we just lost the guy from the rotation. What?
I'll say this. If the contract that they've been talking about is similar to Giolito, like, you know, an opt-out after year one, even an opt-out after year two.
I'd be stunned, by the way, if it's an opt-out after year one for Montgomery. But who knows? But I'd be stunned.
Let's say it's two. Let's say it's a three-year deal with an opt-out after year two. Even that does make little sense. It's at this point, I mean, not just because of Giolito, but that deal, as much as it's appealing because it falls into the Red Sox budget. That's the only thing appealing about it. Like, it makes the team better. It doesn't make them better at the right time. I think a 6-year deal, 7-year deal for Montgomery now makes a ton of sense because you do have a team that's a couple years away from being in, right? Isn't that the whole thing? Is that they're
That should be the whole point. That should be the whole point. I know my point isn't as strong if he is going to sign a shorter term deal, because then I get it's like, yeah, you know, it's two fill-in years and then you just have the same problem after that. But there's also, Joe, like, I think Sox fans have gotten too used to expecting nothing that they need to readjust that it's not just going to be like this forever. Like, this is not just the Red Sox mentality for the rest of eternity. Like, they're going to sign guys at some point. They're going to wake up at some point. Why not now with a Jordan Montgomery signing and try to get 4 guaranteed years? Try to at least get 3 guaranteed years. There's something to be said about at least showing the effort that you care about the product on the field. That also has an impact for other guys that would want to sign here. Other starters that you're going to need after Montgomery. It's like, okay, they commit to good starting pitching. Because if they don't do that, then it's like, who's it going to be? And maybe the answer is the next guy we're going to talk about, Brian Bale. But he's only, again, he's 1/5 of the answer. So that helps you a little bit. But it's, you need to show that you're going to commit to some legitimate dudes in the rotation. Look at all these other teams that are going to contend. They have guys locked down. You see the Aaron Nola deal immediately in free agency. And then they lock Wheeler down. Like, smart teams sign good talent so that they're going to be around for a handful of years, so your window to win a World Series and make a run is wider than just, you know, hoping for the best when some prospects click with a couple of veterans. Like, it's just not sustainable. They throw sustainability around all the time. What's not sustainable is consistently assuming that young players are going to just bring you to the promised land with a shit rotation. That's not sustainable. That's never going to work. So you got to sign starters at some point, and it seems counteractive that the time you admit it's not right to sign starters is when you lost one of them. I just can't. Like, I understand the point being like, oh, they're going to be so bad. It's like, all right, if we all kind of agreed, and we don't all agree on anything, but if the general consensus around Major League Baseball is that the Red Sox were a 500 team, and the general consensus is that if they added Montgomery, they could be a playoff team, which I think you and I would agree. Again, they'd need a lot of things to go right. I get it. I get it all.
It adds the potential for them to be a playoff
exactly.
team.
And it would make this season more fun, there's no doubt. And all of a sudden, now your top three starters are pretty legit, or have the chance to be pretty legit. And that's, big picture-wise, kind of normally what you need to make a playoff run. 2 or 3 starters that are legit, and you patch it together with a good bullpen and good middle innings guys. If that's the case, again, and I've already said it, but like losing a fixer-upper 1 year, just got smashed in the second half of the season, Lucas Giolito, should not completely, you know, take you out of the running for a starter that's price continues to go down and that makes a ton of sense for you, not just now, but, you know, for the next 4 years. Mind-blowing to me, the amount of people that had that opinion.
The sustainability conversation is one that, I mean, we could have for an hour, and I think we probably have for multiple hours over the course of this winter. But it's so funny that, taking a step back and looking at the organization, they won 4 World Series in 15 years and then started changing things for the sake of sustainability. It's like, you had you just won 4 in 15 years. Is that not sustainability? You did it with multiple cores in multiple decades. Okay. All right. I think
different sets of free agent signings.
Yeah, you did it already. You had sustainability. What was not sustainable about 4 championships over 15 years? Whatever. Do you make anything of the report earlier today? I don't remember who it was from. It doesn't matter. Do you make anything of the report that Monty wants a smaller market, like St. Louis or wherever else they said?
You know what hit me seeing that one, Joe? And this is no disrespect at all, even though it kind of is.
Mm-hmm.
When's the last Buster Olney report that really made waves and that was like ended up being fully correct? Buster was a big deal for a while. I respect Buster Olney. I've always, for the most part, liked him. I listen to his podcast. He also has some takes sometimes where I'm like, what are you talking about? I saw that and was like, eh, I don't know if that's actually true. If money's right, then I think you'll go wherever. Like, Montgomery's cool living in Boston, but he doesn't want to play here. I know those are different things, but still, I don't. He also played in New York and had, you know, good moments. But he just pitched in the World Series. Like, there was a lot of energy. See, what I don't get, Joey, is like, when you're talking, so he's talking about markets, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why do we talk about it like that? Like, you're trying to tell me that there wasn't a ton of pressure in those games in Texas with like ridiculous crowds and like why? How would that be any different than Boston being rowdy, right? Or am I? Being
I think
crazy?
It's yeah. So I actually just had this conversation with somebody the other day about small market, big market, whatever. And I think it's our idea of it is skewed because we only think of them as ball players. We only think of them when they're on the field.
Yeah.
And I think it's way more than that. I think playing in a large market means yes, the crowd is louder. Yes, the stadium is more packed, whatever. But also, you get off the field and there's 25 reporters in the clubhouse. And they're asking you questions like, you gave your manager a look in the seventh inning. What was that about? And you say, I didn't realize I did. I didn't mean anything by it. And then, you know, on your way to your car, you have to stop 20 times because there's a bunch of kids out there that want to take pictures and get autographs. And you finally
those
get home.
Stupid-ass
and
kids.
Now you're living in a big city, so you can afford, not afford, but you're probably forced to live in a smaller place. You get there, you check Twitter. And now your comment where you said, I didn't realize I did, has 10,000 people being like, what does he mean? Is he lying right to us? Do you think we're stupid? We all saw the look he gave. And he's like, what are we talking about? And then, you know, you get there the next day and there's more cameras in your face and more microphones in your face versus, you know, you're in Kansas City. There's four guys there. And
I honestly, I hear you, Joe. Part of me thinks it's a dated take because I think there's a good amount of coverage in like most cities now for these teams. Like, I think how many
Tigers beat guys are there?
I'm sure it's not a ton, but I'm just saying people in the clubhouse, like, I don't think it. I don't know. Like there's something to that. I just think that the attention, the availability, the access to these players has never, like, that gate has never been more open than it is now. Like, we're podcasters and we're on the field before the game. Like, they are allowing right. a lot of people to get close access to the players. And I think every fan base
market.
Is as on Twitter as they've ever been, as in their mentions as they've ever been. Like, I think you're totally right. I just don't know if the gap is as big as it was when we were growing up. I don't know if the gap of attention and like all that is as wide as it was before, to the point where I see Buster only post that. And it's like when you had that report in 04, I think it meant more than it does in 2024. Like, I don't think it's that much different now. And a lot of me is just saying that because I want him to pitch here.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I don't want it to be true.
I mean, I think you're right that it's smaller. I just don't know how much smaller. Because I think that there's a difference too. I mean, you also got to think about what those big markets, the historic franchises, the Boston Red Sox, the New York Yankees, others, what they demand out of their players. So, you know, if you're, you know, team meetings and workout schedules and, you know, dietitians and stuff like that. You know, if you're in a big market, traditionally, maybe not right now with the Red Sox, traditionally, those are the teams that are going for it, that have high standards, that are historic franchises and hold their players to high standards. And I think that matters too, of like, man, do I want to be, you know, an extra hour early to the ballpark every day? Like, do I want to have a team meeting three times a week? Like, there's just more demand. Again, that's in my mind. I don't know how much of that is true. I would imagine it is, though. You know, you hear about guys, you know, going to bigger markets and talking about, you know, how much more intense just the entire experience is. That could maybe be a part of it. I mean, he's had a taste of it in New York. Maybe he just had such a terrible experience in the Bronx that he just doesn't want to repeat
any
aspect of it.
I get it, because the Bronx is maybe like the most garbage place on the planet. It actually smells like pee at every corner you take in the Bronx. It smells like fresh piss.
Do you know why,
everywhere
actually?
Everywhere in the Bronx. Yeah, what's that?
I looked this up. It's because there's piss everywhere on every corner, and it's fresh. Because someone's pissing there all the time on every corner. That's why it actually smells like that.
I never even factored that in. That makes a ton of sense now.
Mm-hmm.
Joey, he pitched 5.5 seasons in New York. He was
that
there
feels
for
long.
6 years. That's longer than I thought.
That feels long.
I mean, it makes sense because that's kind of, you know, the length of before you get like a real contract. That's typically how it goes. But Yeah, I don't know. The Montgomery stuff, he doesn't really seem like the guy that would have that report. I feel like that's Zach Greinke or something. Like, I don't know. Monty's like he's a horse. He's not a literal horse. It would be wild if the Sox just signed a horse to be in their rotation. But I just think that at this point, I don't want to say beggars can't be choosers, but it's like, dude, it's March 6th. That report typically comes out in December. That's not necessarily something you hear when you're like 15 games into spring training. It's like, yeah, I don't know. I just kind of want to be in a small market. Don't you just want to sign right now? Wouldn't you? And again, there's an element of me that's like, he didn't actually say this or doesn't genuinely want that. But if that is true, if that report is true, then I don't know. It's how many options? Very clearly, it's not like you have a ton of teams knocking down the door to sign you right now. A lot of that's probably because Boris is asking for too many years or too much money. But if I'm Montgomery, I want to be in spring training right now. I want to have a couple spring starts under my belt already. Like, this is – we're 2 weeks from opening day. Joey, I totally forgot about that South Korea series, mm-hmm. which is kind of – I remember the Sox did – what, they played in Japan, I think, to start like the 08 season? I think it was right after winning the World Series, something like that. And I think they went back to playing spring training games. And then open the season again, and Yukel is saying how much that kind of messed with the team. He was like, I'm not making excuses, but it really messed us up for a few weeks, and I totally get it. This is kind of bizarre that Ohtani's going to be making his Dodgers debut in South Korea, and that those games count. They then come back here, play other spring training games, and then start the season up again.
That series? Is it next weekend?
It's literally 2 weeks from today. It's March 20th. So wow. We're technically 2 weeks from the real opening day. And you got a report out there that Montgomery's like, yeah, I kind of want to play for a small market. Dude, you should just want to be signing right now. Like, this shouldn't be the top of the concern list, especially if you're talking about shorter-term deal.
I mean, I opened this question by saying, how much do you make of it? Because my point was going to be, I saw it and went like, yeah, whatever. And I kept scrolling. No, I was like, that doesn't mean anything. Like, I get that is a preference that can happen. But at this point, I was like, dude, are we just making up headlines about Montgomery and Snell now? Because, like, we need something to talk about.
Wouldn't it feel like that? There's been such a lack of actual, like, real traction reports on them that it does kind of feel like these guys are like, hey, I heard from a industry source. Like, okay.
Dude, I have noties on for Heyman, Rosenthal, Morosi, and every day they'll tweet that they're, you know, going live on the BR app, or, you know, they're live on MLB TV, or they're, you know, wherever. And they'll always be like, hey, we're live on blah, 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 talking Monty and Snell. It's like, what are you talking about? What are you saying on there? Are you going to say like, man, they've got a sign soon?
Okay, cool. Thank you so much. I'm glad I tuned in.
I'm glad I downloaded the BR app.
I mean, I shout out the BR app because I'm doing a bunch of streams on there and have been. But
yeah, no, I know you loved it. I downloaded it because I deleted it because you hadn't been on in a while, and I was like,
and then you brought it back.
Maybe they're fumbling it.
Heyman does, like, I love doing those streams just because they let me like pick the topic. I can just go for like a half hour and then just like sign off. With Heyman, it's like the same. To your point, it's the same topics. Like, every, like, latest on Montgomery and Snell, you know,
there's no
latest on free agents, there's nothing. Latest is nothing.
And you know how I know there's nothing? Because if there was something, somebody would rip the clip and put it on Twitter, and there never is one. If there is one, it's him going, like, he should go on the Red Sox. And that's it.
And credit to the, because I used to do this stuff for BR, like, credit to the people that work on the app, because they're then tasked with sending alerts of what Heyman said on their app, because it's for them. That's a pretty good get. I mean, I know how we all feel about Heyman. We don't really like him. And, you know, he's lost a lot of trust after the Aaron Judge thing and other stuff. But they then send alerts out of like, Heyman, you know, Monty makes sense for Red Sox. Like, yeah, he does. He's made sense since like August of last year. So, that's not going to be news to me in the middle of March. But yeah,
they're trying. They're really trying to find anything to talk about there. And I feel for them, because I mean, just the conversation shouldn't be that right now. And it's so frustrating that we are sitting here still talking about the two biggest pitching free agents like you it said, feels, 2 weeks away. And
it
also
feels like it's January, or like early January, like late December. Like it feels like it's still 2023. The fact that we're on March 6th having this conversation is crazy.
I'm gonna be actually mad at the entity that is baseball itself. Forget Major League Baseball. I mean the game itself. If Joey Votto is forced into retirement by a bad free agent market, because if he doesn't sign somewhere in the next 2 weeks, there's no chance that he just like takes an off year and comes back at 40, like
Joey,
41.
I gotta say, and you're not gonna like the, you're not gonna like hearing this.
You don't like the tweets. You're tired of the tweets. You don't like him tweeting the sad pictures.
That's kind of what I'm going to say. I love Joey Votto. We've done like 20-minute segments on Joey Votto on a Red Sox podcast. So like we love him. We're big Joey Votto guys. I'm not saying that I don't love the tweets. I hate this and all that. I just think when players do that stuff and they're like, oh, boo-hoo, like Simon, like Isaiah Thomas, you know, and Joey Votto's doing it. You see players do this where they're like, I want a job. I don't think it helps their case at all. And I get it from like a, like he, I think Votto's funny on social. For a player too, he's like really funny because players normally suck on social media. But I see more of these and I'm like, ah, dude, I feel like you'd just be better off not posting anything.
I think he's just doing a bit.
Which is fine. Trust me, I go back and forth on this because players never do bits. So I'm thankful he's doing a bit.
Yeah.
But I think the more bitty, like the longer the bit goes,
it feels less like a bit.
Yeah, it feels less like a bit and less likely that it's going to at all help him in getting signed by a major league team. I think front offices, for better or worse, are like, are we going to, he's been doing all these tweets. We're going to be the ones to sign him? I don't know if it helps their case. But I'm not saying that to say that I hate the bit. I think the bits, I like the bit.
Who plays first base for the Los Angeles Dodgers? Is it still Max Muncy? Who's playing first base?
It's Freeman,
there?
Right? Isn't it Freeman?
Oh my God, it's Freddie Freeman.
You just had my brain in a pretzel. I'm like, it's the guy that might win the MVP this year.
It's Freddie Freeman. Okay, so there's not really a window there.
Who is it? Is it like Jason Haywood?
I just always think of Freddie Freeman as like too good of an athlete to be a first baseman. I'm still in 2006 and all first basemen are big old fatties. But
Freddie Freeman is someone that I always, anytime, and this is so unrealistic, but anytime I watch him, and I've watched a lot of Dodgers over the last couple of years because they're really good and they're on after the Red Sox, I'm always like, man, Joey, when you and I thought growing up that we were going to play in the big leagues, I feel like what we were picturing is Freddie Freeman. I feel like us looking like Freddie Freeman, a clean cut, just white as could be guy that's hitting home runs and that's a good guy that has a good family and, you know, is in the MVP race.
Big old
and,
white teeth.
Yeah, big old white teeth and he's just so white. And
the only thing whiter than him is his teeth.
He's like the whitest dude in baseball.
he's up there for the country. Dude, he's up there for the nation.
Freddie Freeman is a white guy.
there's no doubt about that. Yeah.
But no, I'm just like, I feel like what we pictured was what he does. Like how he carries himself, how he plays. I thought I was going to be like that.
I mean, I've always thought that he looks like out of this era, you know, that he belongs in another era, that he's like very 1950s or something.
Old timey, 100%. Yeah. And his swing, too. It's like he has old ball player swing. Like it's very to the point, very compact. He puts the bat down. He runs, you know, very specifically. Yeah, he's from a different era. Same with Votto. Like, Votto was, too.
Yeah, was.
Was, yeah, he might be dead. He looked homeless in the last photo. Let's hope he's not just, you know, left outside in the cold.
He's fine. He's looking for a job right now. He's trying really hard. He's going to be off my couch.
It is funny that the bit is to make it look like he doesn't have a home. Like, not only does he not have a job, he's like, I'm homeless because I don't have
a job. He's not homeless. He said he'll be off my couch in 2 weeks tops. He just found a job. He's been reading the newspaper. He thinks that he found one. He'll be fine.
The other topic, Joe, the other main topic in Red Sox land is Brian Baio potentially signing an extension with the team. If we're going to talk about what the wording was for Giolito and kind of the vibes of that one going south, I think we got to be honest. and say the way that Spear worded, the way that some other folks on Twitter have worded, seems like this is going to be done soon. Kind of seems like this is like really going to happen. And while it is, I'm going to be positive here. While it is difficult to be happy about any Red Sox thing, considering how this offseason is gone, there was a part of me that's like, all right, if you're going to keep throwing this BS, like, youth movement excuse to us, at least try to, like, show that that's what you're actually going to do. Like, at least commit to the youth movement, to the guys that you really think are as close to guarantees as being successful for a good handful of years coming up here. And if they extend Brian Baio, then it's like, all right, that is a step in the right direction. Now, of course, Red Sox fans, it sucks, Joe, because the best part of a Baio extension would have been if you already had like two starters in-house from that were free agents. Yeah. If you already had those guys and then you're like, oh, by the way, we're extending Brian Baio to 2030. Like, we needed pitching. We wanted to be aggressive, full throttle, all that. Yeah. Here you go. We got a couple top free agent starters, and we extended the best in-house starter that's already proven to a certain degree what, you know, shown flashes of what he can be for the next 6-7 years. Then that would have had more of the chest out, like we're coming.
Yeah.
But if it's just Baio and you're, like you said, minus one starters because Giolito's out, it kind of takes a little bit of the sizzle out, which sucks.
Yeah. In the same vein of taking a little bit of the sizzle out of it, I told an AI they were going to extend Brian Baio through 2028. And it said,
does it even matter?
Because are they not just paying him through his arbitration years? Did they gain a single year of control of him? Because they didn't. What is the point of this extension at all?
Joe, it's beyond 2028. That's the word that you missed.
All the numbers I keep seeing are 5 years, $50 million.
All I've seen is beyond 2028. I haven't been seeing
all I keep seeing numbers. Is 5 years, $5 million. It would kick in next year. So actually,
imagine
sorry.
Signed him for 5 years, $5 million total. That would be a steal.
Did I say $5 million? $50
million. Yeah.
Which, I mean, do they gain a 1 year of control? 2 years of control?
As is right now, he is under control through 2028, which would be his age 29 season. He's got two pre-arb years, three arbitration years left.
Yeah.
It wouldn't. This contract would make no sense if they don't go past 28. But it's not. I'm not going to be like, what are they doing? Like, I would not expect that this is going to be through 2028. Because that wouldn't make. You already have them through 2028.
The only. Unless, Steve, this is crazy talk.
They just want to avoid arbitration hearings?
They avoid arbitration and save a couple million dollars. Is that out of the realm of possibility?
It's not out of the question, too.
It's really not,
it's
right?
It's funny because when you started mentioning, I'm like, are you about to say it so they can avoid a couple of hearings?
That's... Dude, to avoid legitimately max $30 million 6 years from now or 4 years from now.
All right. I changed my mind. There is an outside chance this only goes through 28 so that they don't have to worry about paying a couple extra million here or there.
I'm not saying it's the most likely thing, but
it needs to be discussed, though, considering how cheap the team is.
It's on the table that this is adds maybe 1 year of control, all really in pursuit of saving a couple bucks because they see him doing well and seeing arbitration not go in their favor. That's crazy, and that's projecting a lot. But this offseason has me thinking crazy stuff in like any way that they can save money, unless you're damaged goods and you throw the baseball for a living, in which case, just come here and get some free money.
Cotillo mentioned if... What's up? No, what do you got?
No, you go.
Okay. Cotillo mentioned if a Baio deal gets done, it'll represent just the second time since 2011 that the Red Sox have extended a player with two or fewer years of service time. Surprisingly, that was Garrett Whitlock was the only player in the last 13 years that they have done that for. A lot would say that hasn't worked out great. I looked at some other contracts, Joe, in terms of like the most years they've given to pitchers. because I wanted to get a little bit of context of where he would kind of fit in contractually, but more specifically years, because they normally don't commit a ton of years to starters, especially recently. And if my calculations are correct, if my research is correct, under this ownership group, the only time they've gone to 7 years was with David Price, who signed a 7-year, $217 million deal in 2015. Daisuke got 6 years. Pedro Martinez, Joe, I did not know. You know, like when you and I were growing up, we didn't have to worry about like what the hell Red Sox players were signing for. We just assumed, oh, they're good players. Why wouldn't they want to play for my favorite team? Of course they're going to just be here. We've talked about this before. I assumed that Nomar, Movon, Pedro were going to be here forever. I thought that's how it worked. I didn't even know they retire. I think I just assumed when I was seven, it's like, this is great. The rest of my life, they're going to look just like that, and they're going to pitch great, and that's awesome. I never looked up in my entire life. I have not looked up what Pedro Martinez's contract was with the Red Sox until today. He signed he signed a 6-year, $75 million deal, I believe it was in 1997, with the Red Sox.
Wow.
$12.5 million a year for arguably the greatest pitcher stretch in the history of baseball. For a little context, and I understand, you know, that money changes over the years, I get it. That's less than half of Chris Sale's yearly contract amount. So Sale was getting like 29 a year, 28 a year. Pedro was getting 12.5. For 98, 99, 2000, 01, 02, 03, dominant years. Of course, you mix in a couple injuries here or there, but Pedro Martinez was mainly available, and he was mainly hosing down some roided up dudes during those years. 6 year, $75 million deal. Couldn't believe it.
May I say?
Yeah.
In 1998, the highest paid player in Major League Baseball was Gary Sheffield, making 15.
No, it's true. Trust me, I get it. Contracts were different. But it's more just, it's eye-opening when you see that. And also, you got to factor in that, like, even though Pedro was really good, he wasn't, like, fully Pedro yet when he signed that contract. So it still was a steal, even with contracts being less at that point. But yeah, all that to say, David Price, 7 years. Daisuke, 6 years. Pedro, 6 years. Chris Sale, 5 years. John Lackey, I kind of forgot that he got a 5-year deal. 5-year, $82.5 million. Made more money than Pedro. It's kind of crazy. John Lester, 5 years, $30 million. That one really stuck out to me, Joe. Because John Lester's contract, I think he signed that in like 09 or something. $30 million for 5 years of John Lester. That's pretty crazy. So, anyway, these are the guys that you would now throw Brian Bello into the mix with. So, it's a pretty notable list of dudes that the Red Sox have committed to for five or more years. Basically, all of them are all-stars, right? I don't think any of those guys didn't make an all-star team. And Brian Bello would now be in that mix. But who knows? Who knows what the actual length is going to be? If it was a 7-year deal, that would have him sign through his age 32 season. If, and Cotillo had mentioned this, I hate giving Cotillo credit twice, if they sign him to a 1-year deal now, and then that 7-year kicks in next year, similar to what they did with Rafael Devers, so you can protect the CBT value for this season, then maybe that goes through his age 32 season. I believe that would then be through, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, like 2031. I start losing track at this point. But I don't understand why you would want to extend Bello if it's not for at least 7 years. Like, it wouldn't the point of it be to get a more friendly contract, a guaranteed dude in your rotation, which you do not have? If that's not the point, if the only point is to shave off a couple million in arbitration hearings, then just let's blow up the world.
Yeah, I gotta wait to see the details of it, but seeing the 5 years, 50 just didn't make really any sense to me. And I hate that we found a potential answer, and that one of the potential answers is them saving money. Because
part of the extension would be saving money. If you think he's going to be as good as he, Yeah.
Yeah, that's always the extending guys in these years is always in pursuit of saving a couple bucks down the line. Like, I get that, but also it's the effort in saving money really comes from locking a guy up long term and saving money. If it's keeping him during the years you already have control of him and it's saving crazy. Money, that's dastardly. That's diabolical. If that's
What was that one?
Dastardly.
Dastardly.
I don't even know if I used it right there. Bad.
I've never used dastardly. Dastardly, wicked and cruel. Yeah. Pirates and their dastardly deeds.
Yep, I always say that.
Yep.
Pirates and their dastardly deeds.
The example Google gave. Yeah, you have anything else on Bayo? I mean, it's a lighter one today. Those are the top two topics in Red Sox land. A couple other things, but those were the main ones.
I would just say I would prefer, if I was begging and choosing, I would prefer a Casas extension before a Bayo one. I think that's the more pressing one. I think that's the guy who's going to run up his price more so than Bayo. But that doesn't mean that I wouldn't be excited about a long-term Bayo extension.
Real quick on the Casas thing. The quotes that Casas gave us about, you know, nothing being enticing and wanting to, you know, have his family set for life and all that stuff. If he's saying that now after basically 1 year playing with the team, if Casas goes out and has like a 40 homer, now I know I'll be aggressive, but it's not like out of the realm of possibility. 40 homer, 110 RBI year, has a ridiculous OBP. If he's like starts in the All-Star game, that price, I'm scared that price immediately goes way out of their range. And it's like, then we're now playing that year by year clock ticking, like, still haven't extended him. Now you got 4 years of control. Now you got 3 years. I start getting a little scared to the point that I would rather extend Tristan Casas now than Brian Bayo.
I think you've made too much of those quotes. I'll say it. I think you've made too much of them. I think you should go back and read them again, because I think you're putting some words in his mouth. The whole, like, I want generational wealth for my kid. That's not how
he said
it.
Didn't he say that? That's what he said, though.
No, he said it like, you know, I don't want something extravagant. I don't have some big family, but the people who are close to me, I want to, you know, be able to provide for my family.
No, like, the exact quote, I have it right here. There's absolutely no chance I'm taking these shitty offers the Red Sox have given me so far. I'm going to need billions of dollars. That's what he said, which I thought was ridiculous.
He also said, fuck you, dude. That's not what I said. That's also something he said.
Right, no, that is a direct quote.
He also said in that same patch of quotes, like, I only see myself playing in Boston. I want to be here forever. Which
yeah,
is like,
they all,
no,
that's what you would say.
You don't have to say that this long, this early. You
no,
don't have
I
to
know,
say
I
that.
Know. I think it's a good line to put in to lighten the blow of some of the other lines, to lighten the blow of, like,
there's no bad lines. I think you should go back and read
the
quotes again.
Nothing was enticing. Like, the deal wasn't enticing, like, close to, what was
listen,
the exact quote?
If they offered him $550, right? If they offered him the money that they're talking about with Bayo, I wouldn't mind him turning that down and saying no. I want to wait for the real thing. I want you to give me 10 years, you know, 200.
Casas shared that the first offer he received wasn't tough to turn down, as he wants a contract that, quote, sets me and my family up for the rest of my life. He said the offers have not been enticing. I mean, he's I don't know what that looks like now. I'm low maintenance. I don't need a lot. I've got a small family, so I don't. I shouldn't have read this one. This makes you look good.
I'm low maintenance. I don't need a lot.
The first quotes I said make me look good. Wow, we got a neck and neck battle going on right now. This is really close.
It's almost like the first quotes are really headline grabby and make you want to read the rest of it.
I've got a small family, so they gonna need to be paid up. That's what he said. But something I think that would suffice. The work that I put in throughout my whole life would be nice. Like, whoa, jeez.
Yeah, what an asshole, man.
This guy sucks. I mean, I never phrased it like Casas is like the worst. I did get the sense from the quotes that were out there from Casas that it's like, all right, like, let's, you know, let's continue to earn the keep here. Let's Let's keep grinding. Like, this is normally people don't sign an extension after 1 year in Major League Baseball. You got 6 years of control out of the gate. But no, I trust. I mean, I want Casas here. Like, let's say
it's the same offer. Let's say they, you know, let's assume that this 5 years 50 thing that they're talking about with Bayo is true, and that's what they offered Casas. I'd turn that down. I'd say no. Let's go to ARB, man. Like, no, let's play those years out. I want to see that.
He'd make way more than that if Casas plays to the ability we expect him to. $50 million for five? No way. No chance.
Exactly. So, like, it makes a lot of sense if they were in the similar ballpark. Well, I could see him taking, you know, 10 years, 180, 200. That could still be a real steal. You know,
it could, especially with some of these other what some of these other boppers have signed for. So,
yeah,
we'll see. TBD. You got anything else, Joe?
Yeah, I did. Because I heard that you missed this story earlier today.
Oh, yeah. What do we got?
So, story came out this morning. Ken Rosenthal had a conversation with Alex Cora, right?
Mm.
And in that article, Alex Cora said that he has put his house on the market in Boston.
Yeah.
And then said, if I come back, I'll just buy another house. And that is about as see you later as it gets. And people were freaking out about it. They're like, and justifiably so. I don't think that there's too much put on that when that's out there, that Cora's just saying, like, yeah, I'm selling my house, I'm getting out of here. And said, I heard from a friend who runs an organization that it would be a good idea to get ahead of it and do it now. What? And then 2-3 hours later, Ken Rosenthal is like, hey, in my article earlier, I said that Alex Cora said his house is on the market. He actually said he's not selling his house. My bad. That's a huge difference, Ken. Those are opposite things.
Ken's had some stuff. Ken's kind of lost his fastball a little bit. Not like big time, but Rosenthal's not. I don't look at him the same way I did when I was growing up. You can't mess that up.
I want to find the exact.
I saw his quote tweet being like, actually, you know, change that. His house isn't for sale. Ken, that's like the whole purpose of the report. It's one thing if you said, you know, a guy is rumored to be signing for 5 years, $70 million, and he's like, I meant to be 5 years, $60 million. You know, you missed a digit, whatever.
Yeah, a typo.
A manager in a big market for a team like the Red Sox, where there's already talks about, is this going to be his last year, puts his house on the market, and you then say he didn't? Like, you can't mess that up.
Yeah. Original version of this column quoted Cora as saying his house is for sale. Transcription error on my part. He said his house is not up for sale.
Transcription error. It's the exact opposite. Joe, by the way, if you're going to put that report out there, I'm sorry, it has to be 100% right. That you can't say the Red Sox manager put their house on the market and you might have missed him saying he didn't instead of he did. Like, that's, you got to double check. Oh, so
it's crazy.
You put it on the market? Yeah, you got to like triple confirm that before you put that out there. That's like that's not a little mess up. That's an enormous mess up.
Yeah. And it just kind of fell right in line with everything this offseason has, be it good or bad.
Mm.
There's just been something that comes our way, and then we're told, nah, never mind. You know, going all the way back to
piece of information. Yeah.
Going all the way back to Full Throttle, right? That's obviously the biggest example of this, but it's been with everything, with Giolito, with Monty, with 50 more. Von Grissom.
Bizarre is the word, where it's like, wait, so what have Giolito's done? Isn't he like the most durable dude? Wait, they're getting a Netflix series? What?
The Netflix thing is re-hitting.
What's going on here?
Week.
Wait, we think Cooper Criswell's going to be a starter? What's up? Wait, did I read that right? Like, it's all the reports and like all the news you get, all the quotes, like, are we talking about the Red Sox? The Boston Red Sox are thinking insert stupid thing is a good idea. It's consistent.
Mm-hmm.
It's consistent. And mm-hmm. that, yeah, like you mentioned, Joe, that adds to it where it's like even the reports about the team of stuff the team's not saying is now wrong and weird and doesn't make any sense. Like, you can't mess up the core and put his house on the market. You can't just say, my B, he didn't.
My bad, I forgot the word not is crazy.
Yeah, not actually totally changed. That's like when I was like learning Spanish, and if you left one word out, it like completely changes the sentence, but you still thought that you said it right, and the Spanish teacher would kind of give you a look of like, if only he knew what he just said. Muy bueno, Esteban. Like, it's like, no, I completely messed up whatever I was supposed to say there. You can't just miss not selling the house. You can't miss not.
Wait,
that's
no,
the
I said
most
I'm,
important word.
I said I'm not going to kill you. Did you not hear me?
That's absolutely crazy.
I said I'm
did, wait,
not going to
Did Rosenthal
marry
you. Get rid of his quote tweet? Didn't he have a quote tweet correcting it?
No, it's just a tweet of the article. He's tweeted the article four times today.
Oh, my God. Yeah. It's original crazy. Version of the column saying transcription error. Yeah, that's so funny, dude. His house is not up for sale. We've adjusted the wording. We've adjusted the wording is a classic. Almost kind of makes it look like it was on the editor. It's like, Ken,
I know.
Stop, dude.
Adjusted the
you
wording.
Messed up.
We've corrected my mistake. How about
yeah,
that?
We've corrected so whoever, you know, does the headlines.
Transcription
messed
error.
It up.
Didn't even say, like, my bad.
It's like, no, it was the whole, like, point of the story. Like, that's, yeah, you can't mess that up. Cool. I don't have much else. I know we mentioned Grisham. Might miss some time. And, yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, par for the course. Anyone that comes in to play for the Red Sox can't play for the Red Sox. That is the point. That is the point. Sox are going to love you if you don't play. Goes back to your guy, Alejandro.
Alejandro Marmolejo.
Alejandro Malajuco last year. CJ Krohn in the building. Yippee. How you feeling about your boy Bob, by the way? Bob is just in more hell now after the Krohn news.
Well, here's the thing with CJ Krohn. Yes, he might block Bob, but is there anything else notable about him, Steve, that might be interesting?
We both have big heads.
That's very true. But keep thinking, dude. There's something about this guy that I really like.
About Christopher John Krohn Jr.?
Yeah, there's something he did that I think might really help out this Red Sox team.
Was this guy in the home run derby?
This guy was in the derby, baby.
We
got another derby dog.
Derby dog. Imagine Breslow buying closed doors. Another derby dog. Here we go. Ah.
Pounded his chest. Yeah.
Derby dogs.
Yeah, on the phone with him is like welcome call.
You're my
the
derby
guy
dog.
Who went to Yale?
Yeah, what the hell? Who is this? Let me see. CJ Krohn home run derby.
Yeah.
Was he definitely in the derby? I'm not seeing any images of him in
no.
the Joey. Joey.
Oh, no.
I'm seeing this is from 2 years ago. CJ Krohn, Rockies, Ponder Home Run Derby. Was he in the home run derby? It's hard to like you can't look up someone's reference and be like, did he compete in the home run derby? I don't think he's been in the derby. Ugh.
No.
Damn
I was
it.
Told he was in the 22 Derby. This wasn't long ago.
He pondered it. I don't think he did it. I would have known. I've been at the last three Derbies.
I was at that Derby. I was at the 22 Derby. It was in L.A.
Yeah, right. We were there. CJ Krohn was not in the Dodger Stadium Derby. No way. Right? No chance. 2022 Home Run Derby. Won by Juan
Soto.
Was it
22, maybe 21?
Schwarber, Pujols, Soto, Jose Ramirez. Wait, what does Jose Ramirez sound like again?
CJ!
That wasn't very good.
I'm
a little distraught that he wasn't in the Derby. I'm so sorry. That's some stolen valor right there, because people are talking about how he was in the Derby. He was not in the Derby. So now,
who said he was in the Derby? Who the hell?
He's just some, I think it was Jared. He's just some jamoke.
Ugh.
Who's blocking my boy Bob from playing. Do you understand? My mother only watches the Boston Red Sox for the sake of Bobby Dalbec. He's breaking my mother's heart.
And this guy wasn't even in the Derby. So you're breaking his heart and you weren't even in the Derby. Because as we've said on this program many a time, if you've been in the home run, like the Major League Baseball home run derby, you can do no wrong to us. Like you are a made man. You are a legend. That's the goal, I'm pretty sure, of baseball, is to like get to the home run derby.
And, I mean, when I was a kid, that's where you hit the home runs. Why would you?
Yeah,
hit, why
and
would
even
you be
now, I'm sure if you ask major leaguers, that's what they'll say. It's like, I'm not trying to win World Series titles. I'm trying to get to that derby.
Hey, so, listen, you just got to keep your eyes on the prize. You know, just trying to stay focused. And, you know, at the end of the day, it's all about getting to the derby and, you know, winning that derby. So as long as we can get there.
Dude, so Crone Zone, he was not in the derby. That sucks. But
I always confuse him and Jake Cronenworth because obviously.
Because they're both white. No, I got you.
Yeah, because they're both white guys. So
I got you.
That's all my thoughts.
Emptying the bench real quick. I don't even know if I had bench. I guess, like, real quick. What a stupid Celtics loss last night. I don't know if you watched that game, but
no,
I just don't understand how they lost when they were up by 22 in the fourth quarter. I watched the whole game, and all of a sudden they just, like, lost. Tatum deciding to dribble out the last 19 seconds and then do a fadeaway shot is, I hate that. It's probably one of my biggest concerns heading into the playoffs. But big picture-wise, it's one of the best Celtics teams ever, and they're going to be judged on if they can win it all or not, so a game in Cleveland in early March doesn't really matter. I don't really have any bench, Joe. You got any bench?
Yeah. Frustrating Bruins loss last night. Kind of weird how
that actually sucked, too. Yeah, really bad games on both ends. They both blew them late. Yeah.
Yeah, they had a lead late in the third period. They lost, and then they went to overtime. Actually, fun little thing here, Steve, for all our Bruins fans listening. There's something to watch for down the stretch here with the Bruins. The current NHL single season record for overtime losses is 18.
They got to be close.
They got 15.
Wow.
With 18 games left. They are on pace to break the record. So there is room for them to slow down their pace and still break the record. So that is something to really watch for here down the stretch as they presumably trade away Jake DeBrusque in the next couple hours.
Okay. Something to note for sure. Closing thoughts time. Mine will be quick. I really couldn't care less about all the prospect ranking updates. I hate to be like a Debbie Downer here, but they always seem kind of like, oh, okay, here's the latest Red Sox prospect updates. Okay, so, you know, Meyer went from, what, like 20th in the majors to up to like 13th. Like, all right, you know, this doesn't mean much for me. I feel like him and Roman Anthony continue to just swap places, and it's like, who cares? I don't really care. It's going to come down to if you can perform at the big league level. It's all that really matters. And I'm sure there's a lot of people that would argue the only thing that matters right now, if you're a Red Sox fan, is these prospect rankings to understand exactly who to get excited about. But I'm pretty sure we all know the top dogs, and we all know the guys that could actually make an impact here. And a prospect rankings update is not really going to change my opinion on that. You got a closing thought, Joe?
I do. I'm an old man. My son started playing baseball.
Yeah, it's big.
How insane. Yeah, so it's like a camp kind of situation. It's like a program. You know, it's like a one-hour-a-week program because, you know, T-ball starts up in April. He technically makes the cutoff to play T-ball, but he's going to be on the younger side. So I wanted to get him, you know, around some coaches, around some, you know, just, I don't know, just some authority figures in the game. So he understands, like, you listen to coaches and stuff like that. It went horribly. It went absolutely awful, man. We get there, and it's one of those, like, big indoor sports complexes. So there's, like, a bunch of different fields, you know, basketball courts and swimming pool and whatever. And he's on this turf field, and on one half of it is lacrosse, the other half is baseball. And we walk onto the field, and he tries to run over to the lacrosse. I'm like, we're going over here, we're playing baseball. And he goes, I want to do that. And I'm like, we're not playing lacrosse. We're not playing lacrosse. I didn't give you a lacrosse name. We're going over there. I didn't name you Cooper. Didn't name you Tyler. Mm-hmm. We're going over this mm-hmm. way. So we go over, and they're like, just warm up and play catch for a little bit with your parents, right? So I'm playing catch with him. Like 2 minutes in, he sits down. And he's like, I don't want to play catch anymore. And I'm like, if we're at home, I get it. But like we have 58 more minutes of this. And he just starts like running away. He runs over to the lacrosse thing. I'm like trying to grab him and scoop him and bring him back. And the coaches came over and we were taking ground balls, which odd place to start. Just let him hit the ball off the tee. Mm. But I'm not running the show. So these kids were working on Sebastian's backhand. And he's just refusing. He's just like sitting. He's like, no, I don't want to. Until they got to run the bases, right? So we sat out about half of it, but then they got to run the bases. He was very excited about running the bases because you get to run, right? Mm. He got real amped. Dude, this is tough to admit. I was the father to that kid. In this one day, I was the father to that kid. They're running the bases. All the kids are having fun, dude. He runs past first and just like keeps running. All the kids have stopped after first base. And he runs around the bags, comes back, and goes up to one girl in particular and spits in her face. And I was like, and I ran out of no reason. And she like turned to her mom and was like, oh, mom. And he's just laughing. And I pick him up. I'm like, dude, hey, what? Don't do that. And he's just laughing.
What was that?
He's like, put me down. I'm playing baseball. I'm like, you're not. You're spitting in girls' faces.
Dude, this is baseball, man. You run the bases. You spit in girls' faces. That's what you do. That's how baseball goes.
I love ball. So, tough day. And then I did the interview. The exclusive interview is out there on my Twitter now. I asked him afterwards his favorite part. And he said, when we said goodbye.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
His favorite part was
I saw the video you posted of him just sitting there. He's just laying down on the field, just like wanting nothing to do with it. So
yeah.
I wouldn't have said that's the kid that ran the bases and spit in the girl's face. it's not the kid that's laying down on the field.
I got it on video too. I'll show you. I didn't want to post it.
Oh, I gotta see that. That's incredible.
Yeah. I'll show you after the show.
I gotta see that. Yeah. That's incredible. Yeah. Also, showing him that later, like down the road, is going to be so funny. He'll be like, look at how much of a dick you are your first day of baseball.
Yeah. Yeah. Show him that on his draft day.
Yeah.
Or
that's funny. Yeah. Now, they'll show that footage. That'll be on like MLB Network. They'll be like, yeah, he had a tough start to his career. Like, look where he is now. He's getting selected in the second round by, you know, the Colorado Rockies. But it was a rocky start back in 2024.
That's a good pun. Write that down now. That'll be good. That'll be good. But yeah, my closing thought is baseball is off and running.
Literally for Sebastian. Yep. That is funny. Wow. That'll do it for episode. I wasn't ready for that. When Joey specifically has a closing thought, you get a lot of good stories out of those. You have consistently brought it with closing thoughts when you have something. When you don't have something, you really don't have something.
I got nothing. Yeah.
But when you do have something, it's always like really
always
something. So, yeah, well done.
Thanks.
That'll do it for episode 189. As always, follow us on the socials at @ITM_pod. We will be back next week. Hopefully, it's not with like Brian Baio. I was about to say a bad thing. I'm not even going to say it because I'm not a jinx guy, but things have been so bad that I don't want to put certain bad words into the universe. It'll be great. It'll be a Brian Baio extension. So there we go. That'll do it. For Joey Capone, I am Steve Peralta. Go Sox, kids.